Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric Andrew Sinati. Eric A. Sinati with a big A. Eric Sinati right here on the Hostile Zone. Yet another day, another dollar or 50 cents with the American economy or maybe our Bitcoin. I don't know. But here we are, folks, another day. Thank you for tuning into the Hostile Zone. I really appreciate you. Miss Bianca is not here again tonight, still working on that project. We were wishing her well. She's got lots of great things going on, and we don't want to. It's very hard with so many projects going on. But anyway, so we're here another day, and we're moving on. You know, I got to throw out a thank you to everybody again. I highly appreciate that you come to the show, you watch the show, whether you watch it on TV or on social media, you listen to it on your favorite podcast platform, you listen to it on iHeartRadio, or if you're on the FM dial listening to us, or if you're in one of our 54 countries that we're aired in, I thank you. I truly do. We would not be as successful as we have been and accomplished as much as we have accomplished in such a short period of time. We are in our second year, folks, year two of the show, and we are very excited about that. Okay, so it is another big news day. As we heard the other show, we were talking about President Biden dropped out of the race, which we kind of knew that was going to happen. We were kind of, everybody foreshadowed that, but it kind of jumped in on us in the middle of the show yesterday, so here we are. So welcome to the show, folks. And this episode, we're going to basically be going down some of the deep dive on a series of pivotal events, starting with President Biden's decision to drop out of the 2024 presidential race, the resulting national security implications and the overall state of the United States in these turbulent times. Because, folks, we are in turbulent times, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Okay. Famous quote and relevant quote of the day: the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Thomas Jefferson. Excellent quote. I think it really calls in everything we're talking about here, everything we've been talking about, everything you see on every mainstream news outlet, every non-mainstream news outlet. Everybody's talking about everything that's going on. We're not going in conspiracy theory conversation, but we are. There is a lot of stuff. There is so much to unpack. I don't even know where to get in. There's so much to unpack. But let's go with Biden drops out of the race. Now, interestingly enough, there is so much controversy and conversation with regard to, you know, who actually helped make the decision to do the for him to drop out? What's the motive behind it? You know, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what we know to be real, what we know to be relevant for you, me, the American public, and for our national security. And what is the consequences of all of these things that we're going to talk about with America and how we relate geopolitically and on the global stage, and how we relate with all of our counterparts around the world. So on July 21st, 2024, citing personal reasons, he cites that he is withdrawing from the race because he felt that it was more appropriate for him to focus on his position currently as president of the United States, and that he wants to fulfill the final duties of this particular term of office and really heavily focus on completing that term as compared to running a campaign and flying all over the country, pandering for votes and pandering for public support. So you take that on what you will. Is he really... You know, is there a medical concern? People, some say there is. COVID was announced. then we have the potential mental, acumen might be off. His faculties might be, mental faculties might be down. Who really knows? But the polls show something interesting, though. They show very mixed reactions. 45% people support the decision that he dropped out. 40% of the people polled believe that they are against him dropping out, and 15% are undecided. Now, let's unpack this little piece of information here. Statistically, you just have to take the 15% and just throw that to the side, folks, because there is always a large segment of the population, of the populace, the voters, and the people that are polled that just are not engaged. Like I say at the end of every show, they're not engaged, so they're not really knowledgeable. So when they're asked, they're not undecided. They might not just know what the appropriate answer is because they're not engaged. They're not interacting but I want to say up to speed in what the current situation is and in how this affects them. It affects everybody globally. Not everybody is tuned in and dialed in to politics as you and I are, and the folks out there that are listening and this just what it is. So then you have 45% supporting it and 40% against it. You have to look at that on political lines too. Out of the 45% that are supporting the decision, you got to assume that there are political people, Republican and Democrat, that have personal agendas on why they feel it's best for him not to be in the race. And on the 40% that are against him dropping out, there's the same thing. You're going to have a split decision. These are your engaged people that are dialed in, the 45 and the 40%. These are your engaged people. These are your people that are aware of what is going on. They have an idea of what's going on with the current political climate and what is in the current headlines and what is going on situationally in the United States. Out of the 45 and the 40% separating them, you're going to have Republican and Democrat in each one who sees it to be a better mix for them or for their party individually. So when they say 45% are in support and 40 are against, I wouldn't say that it's American John Q. public is saying for the good of America, they thought it was a good idea, or they were not thinking it's a good idea for the good of America. They might be thinking more in the lines of what's good for their political expediency, for their personal gain, and for the gain of their political cohorts and their party. So, and polls are an interesting thing. They change on a daily basis. There is some scientific base to it, and we obviously get our polls from some very good polling sources, from university sources, people that are generally not so partisan. So when Mr. Biden, President Biden, withdrew from the race, he did not resign as President of the United States. So let's be clear on that. He still is the President of the United States, and he's intending to complete his term, which will end at the end of next year. And he will turn over, the power to whoever is elected in the upcoming election. He endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris as the person that he would like to see be the Democratic nominee. Now, there seems to be some turmoil amongst the people inside the party that there should be more competition and more, having the more of a democratic process of deciding who the candidate will be. Because essentially, let me unpack this for you. Essentially, President Biden went through the entire primary process, and he didn't go to all the primary states. He didn't hit all the states, but essentially, he is the Democratic candidate. But by him pulling out of the race and just handing the torch over to Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, he's essentially taking the decision out of the hands of the Democratic Party and the Democratic voters to decide who their candidate for president should be. So this will be an interesting run going into the Democratic National Convention when those are all of his delegates in the National Convention. So essentially, he could turn them over to Vice President Harris, or there could be a contested convention. I don't really know how that's going to play out. Some speculate that they noticed that former President Obama did not endorse Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, in this endeavor. There are some people saying that there was a phone conversation between Obama and Harris, and she knows that he is not placing an endorsement, and that he believes there should be a more competitive process where the people of the Democratic Party get to really choose who their candidate's going to be. There is some serious dynamics going on with that. You also have to lay into question here that one of the other big contenders that would be somebody for either vice president or president is Governor Gavin Newsom out of California. And the problem with that would be is that that would be problematic to have either him and Kamala on the same ticket, because both of them are from California. Both of them, he's the governor, and Kamala Harris was the former attorney general and a prosecutor in California. So both of them come out of California. California is a failed state. California has some of the, it has the highest rate of people leaving, expat, right out of California, going to other states. You have Elon Musk talking about moving SpaceX out of there over some decisions that are made in California. So it would be problematic to have two people from California on the same ticket. And you have to look and see who do we think, and who do you think, folks, and who does everybody think is truly going to be the best candidate to beat President Trump? Ultimately, that is what they have to think about as Democrats. Their job as a Democrat during the election is to push for their candidate. Historically, and what you're supposed to do is during the run-up in the election, everybody is contentiously fighting inside the party to become the nominee, and then against the other party, Democrat versus Republican, to win the presidency. Then after the election, then party politics should not really be in play, because it should be about America at that point. It's now what is good for the nation as a whole. Whereas right now with the primary process and all this, it's some influx on what's we have to worry about our candidate and winning and getting our guy or woman to the next level so they can be president. And that is truly a very in-depth process. And I don't want to fall into a sea hole. Disappearing into a sea hole, trying to explain that. So I hope that if you are engaging and paying attention to the show for the past year, you learned some of that, or you know that already, and I don't have to break that down to you. There are though concerns around everywhere. This is going to be problematic because of the dynamics, because of the primary itself. Like I said, President Biden did not visit all 50 states. He did not hit every primary. So this is a very interesting selection for the candidate for president. I mean, even Donald Trump had people run against him in the primary, and he essentially is a former president as well. And he should, technically, automatically be coming in to not having anybody challenge you. But, it's not your normal presidential campaign. So that's what's been, nothing's been normal in many years, but that is where we are with that. So generally, when somebody is already in office, the party just automatically endorses them for the next term, to run for re-election. It's a very interesting experience because you have two former presidents, one current president, one former president, running against each other at the same time. It does not normally happen that way. You usually have an incumbent versus a new person, a new candidate, or you have two brand new candidates after somebody does their 8 years and gets out, and you have two fresh faces. This is not the case here today. There are national security implications, concerns over stability and continuity in the United States foreign policy is a serious question on a lot of people's minds. What are the stances of President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, and now any of the other Democrats that might be trying to vie for the position to to, if they're going to break up the Democratic National Convention, they may find themselves battling it out at the convention. And is that really the most electorally prudent way for them to decide who their candidate is? I, for one, don't think that is. And I think if it was on the Republican side, there would be a lot of beef and argument with that. So there's going to be arguments on either side. But the fact of the matter is, it is not your normal presidential campaign. But this is not our normal America. We are in ever-changing times. There's concerns with military and the intelligence community's response to the major political shift. You've got to understand, the military and the intelligence community is under the executive branch of government. And the executive branch of government, in charge of executive branch, is the president of the United States. You have three branches of government. You have the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and the executive branch of government. The military and the intelligence agencies all fall underneath the executive branch, which are underneath the power and the thumb of the president of the United States. So when we have a change in president, a presidential change, then there is a big toss-up in the military leadership, a high-level appointed leadership, and there's a toss-up in the intelligence community in the appointments of people and promotions, as well as the direction in which they're going to be following national security protocols and foreign policy and all those wonderful policies and administrative actions. And everybody seems to have their own opinion. So obviously, when you have a switch from a Republican president to a Democratic president, there's obviously going to be a big change. We all know that. But what you have to pull back here, and you have to peel back the layers of the onion, and you have to say, you have here President Biden and then Kamala Harris. They are not aligned 100% on what their philosophy is. And then when you have Gavin Newsom, you throw him into the mix, potentially Hillary Clinton coming back into the game, who knows? There's a lot of rumor out there about potentially Michelle Obama being in play to do something. Not everybody seems to have the same political philosophy. So you have a large sweep from Republican to Democrat, but now within the party, you have a shift. So just by him withdrawing from the race and endorsing Kamala Harris, you have the military infrastructure and the military infrastructure and the national intelligence infrastructure and national security, et cetera. That is going to change a lot of way they view things, what way they're going to respond to certain activities and certain situations. And we have a lot of geopolitical stuff going on around the country, around the world, around the country. So this is not something that we need to be playing with. It's not something that really we want to be putting too much information out to the world, that we are having some fracturing within inside of our country internally, because as much as we may appear to have fracturing, let's make this very clear to Russia, to North Korea, to China, to Iran, and to any of the other bad actors out there, or whatever you want to call some of these people. Whatever you may see in the media and the arguing amongst Americans in-house, we are not a fractured nation. We have issues like everybody. But at the end of the day, the United States is going to stand tall regardless of who is in charge and what people are saying on the news, what you're reading on internet, what you're reading on Reddit and blogs and social media and et cetera. We need to definitely know that is something to pay attention to. That shouldn't be. We have an audio issue. Are we better? Good. All right. I don't know if we got an audio issue. But anyway, so there's been an ongoing threat of cyber attacks has increased by 20% in the last quarter, with international tensions rising dramatically. So this is another thing we need to keep in mind, that we have, just as of this week, where there is 911 had a problem again. We had TV stations, radio stations. We have Windows went down. I mean, we have all kinds of IT and cyber issues going on. Nobody really knows or is saying who is the culprit behind these actions, these cyber activities. But this is happening, folks, and somebody is seeing what's going on here and thinking that they can take advantage, which I think is a very poor choice on whoever decision it is, whatever nation might be behind, thinking that they can take advantage. Because at the end of the day, America is America, and we're going to stand united with each other. Because when somebody attacks America, you attack all of us. We might have some infighting and whatever, but let's all think back to 9/11. Okay, 9/11, as soon as that happened, for years and years, America was completely united. Completely united. You saw United We Stand flags everywhere. Everybody was saying, we'll never forget, et cetera. Everybody had the shirts. You saw stickers and bumper stickers everywhere. So don't forget that, because that incident happened, and the good, hardcore fabric of America, that Constitution on my wall here, that came through to show the world what America is made of. And that is what these people need to be thinking. Because just because they think we got some infrastructural arguments here amongst people, you're not going to take out America. If we're going to look at the state of America, though, we got to look at everything. We have the economic outlook. Inflation at 6%. Unemployment is at 4.2%. Social issues, rising polarization, many, many protests in many states across the board. We have so many social issues going on. We have an economy that is just like unforgiving. If you look at, this is the issue that people really have to focus on. When you go to the grocery store, you have to look at what you paid for groceries 4 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever. What you paid for gas 4 years ago, 8 years ago. These are the red-blooded Main Street American issues and concerns. Although we have all this stuff going on globally, these are issues that people need to say. We have an inflation at 6%, unemployment at 4.2%. We have public health challenges. We have the ongoing challenges still dealing with COVID-19 and all the variants and vaccination campaigns and arguments and misinformation and disinformation out there. You just don't know what you're reading, where it's coming from, where they're getting statistics from and their information from. It, like I say at the end of the show, you have to remain engaged. We have to remain engaged. If we're not engaged, then we are not understanding of what's going on. Then what good are we? Our job, the government works for us. We put the government in power. We elect these people, and we elect these people based on what they say they're going to do and what their political philosophy is and what direction they're going to lead the nation. So these issues of inflation, unemployment, health issues, vaccination arguments, and all this stuff all comes into play and needs to be at the forefront of everybody's mind whenever you're reading things. You have to look and peel the onion back and see, is there an agenda on somebody's idea when they put out a story like this show? Do I have an agenda? Am I giving you information because I am trying to secretly advocate for somebody else, for a philosophy, for whoever it may be? You have to pay attention to that. Now, I assure you that I'm not advocating for anybody. People know what my political standpoint is, but I don't report that on the show here. I give you fair, down the middle, and I give you both sides of the argument, and I let you decide. Not everybody's doing that. So I always say, when you go on and look up information, check the sources and see where the information is coming from, who's putting out the information, and where it was derived. Even when you're reading a poll, make sure that it's coming from a valid source that you truly know is trustworthy enough that you feel confident that the information that they are giving you is truly the real information. There are political and public reactions across the board from people making statements with regards to what news outlets are saying, all the news outlets, and you can just pick any one of them. Everybody has a different opinion on whether President Biden withdrawing from the race is a good thing or a bad thing. Everybody has an opinion, and everybody has a perspective. And you have a perspective, I have a perspective. I think that for intelligent people, we all need to look at the perspective of the other person that's coming to you with what they're saying, and you have to take your perspective and their perspective and find somewhere in the middle. And you have to meet in the middle and see, are they aiming it? Obviously, everybody has a direction that they want to, I don't want to say an agenda, but everybody believes in something and they kind of lean towards that. So you have to just look at where it's coming from. Nobody is 100% neutral. It's always going to be a little spin on something, even if it's not intentional. It just might be a spin because of the way people talk and the way they present because of what their beliefs are. Your beliefs are very hard to map. Now, some people pretend that they don't have any and pretend that they are not something that they are or something that they're not. But that the reality is just own up to who you are. And it's okay to be a Republican. It's okay to be a Democrat. It's okay to be one or the other in media, in the news, in entertainment or whatever world you're in. It's okay to be that. As long as you identify with that and you report the best of your ability on what you know to be true. And that's pretty much all I can say on that. I don't want to beat up that too much going on a C-hole. But the broader impact on the election, though, this really shifts the campaign strategy across the board because we were looking at President Biden staying in the race. Well, that's good for him. He's now stepping back. But yeah, if you look at it from President Trump's perspective, we're coming into the heat of the election, right? And he now has to re-gear his campaign philosophy because it was President Biden, the candidate, until yesterday. So now the whole campaign is changed. Now, Kamala Harris coming in, she doesn't have to change anything. She's going to begin a new journey. So it's new. And for President Biden, he's backing off. He's going to finish his term. He is not going to be campaigning anymore. So that's it for him. So if you look at how this might affect the Trump campaign, well, this is going to be an expensive and a lot of hours, strategic time, and a lot of preparation to literally make a left-hand turn, switching gears, changing lanes, changing directions, because they now have a completely new philosophy, a completely new candidate that they are up against. Just if you go down to the basic information, he's no longer running against a man. He's now running against a woman. He's not running against a Caucasian white individual. He's running against a person of color. He's no longer running against somebody from the East Coast. He's running against somebody from California. So you're talking about so many differences between Biden and Harris that this really is putting a very, very heavy burden on the Trump campaign to kind of catch up. And we'll see how that plays out. The voter engagement and turnout predictions are influenced by the Biden withdrawal. Some people are extremely upset about the withdrawal on both sides of the fence, Democrat and Republican. And are we going to lose the engagement of those voters? Are they going to disengage from the process? Because they are disgusted by the process. And they're just like, I don't want to be bothered with this anymore. It's kind of like these people that had Trump derangement syndrome, as they called it or whatever, that people are like, I'm no longer involved in the process because I hate Donald Trump. And they walk away. Or how many people walked away from the Democratic Party and now are Trump people because they saw the craziness that was going on and they left the Democratic Party and became Trumpers because of all this. Well, you have to assume that by Biden withdrawing from this race and then essentially handing off the torch to Kamala Harris, in giving her the torch to run on and say, you can continue on the good fight for president, when that's really not how the primary process works. It's not how it's meant to be. And that really could be the Democratic side of Trump derangement syndrome, because people could be saying, well, all right, we had the Trump derangement, the derangement of Trump coming in 2016 and throwing up, you know, throwing a monkey wrench in the gears and, you know, draining the swamp, et cetera. Well, now with Biden withdrawing, you have a big shakeup on the Democratic side, similar to what the Republicans experienced in 2016, a major shakeup in the party. What happened here? I don't even know what happened. Are we still going? Okay, I guess whatever. So we have so much stuff with that going on, and you have to ask yourself, is there a toss-up that's happening here that we're not really seeing? And when at the end of the day, I guess this is going to play out. I don't want to unpack too much on you here in one episode, but this is going to influence voters for sure. I assure you that that is going to be the case. And let's just see how it plays out. I hope for everybody's sake that there is not a fractured American system like there's a fractured system inside the parties. Hopefully everybody can get it together and we can move forward, because we still have foreign adversaries that want to take out America. And at the end of the day, yes, we have to worry about Main Street America. We have to worry about inflation, unemployment, healthcare, all these regular issues that are facing Americans on a daily basis. But at the same time, we're talking about having fractures inside of the party separately, and then it dragging out into America and people having discord amongst each other. And then outside agencies, countries, terrorists, whatever, or, you know, whoever it might be out there saying, okay, let's take advantage of this situation. That's what we need to pay attention to. You know, we got to remain vigilant. As I say all the time, 360, 365. 365 days a year, you need to be engaged at 360 degrees. Forward, backwards, your head on a swivel, 365 days a year, 360 degrees. That remains the fact, always, hands down, that's just the way it is. The historical context is extremely similar, like I said, to what occurred with the Republicans. Are we looking at a new Republican Party? If you look at the Republican National Convention, we looked at who was in attendance of that and who was not in attendance. And that's the key. You have to look who was not there as compared to who was there. Who was newly there that would not have been there before, that was not there previously, and who had been there previously and wasn't there this time. And we'll see how that comes into play for the Democratic Convention moving forward. Are they going to have the same fresh faces there and then faces that are always there, not there? We'll see how that goes. President Biden's exit from the 2024 race has created a significant ripple effect that is far-reaching. It's influencing every aspect of America, every aspect of foreign policy, every aspect of national security, economic stability, and the entire political landscape is changed. The way we look at it is no longer the same. We have to wipe the slate clean and move forward and look at what are we going to do tomorrow. What are we going to do now? Not what are we going to do yesterday? A good quote that I actually have a little hanging up in my office at home. And it says the quote, I don't know who's credited with the quote, but I find it to be relevant and I'm going to mention it now. It says, don't look back. You're not walking that way. So yes, you have to know where you came from so you don't end up there again. But don't keep looking behind you. You need to be looking in front of you. Because when you're not looking in front of you, that's when you trip in the pothole on the street. Remember that. Just because you're looking behind to see if someone's sneaking up behind you, that's when you fall in the pothole or you walk off the cliff. Kind of like the person taking the selfie, looking at the camera, backing in, and then they fall off a cliff or something. This episode highlights the urgent need for strategic leadership. And when I say strategic leadership, we need leadership within the parties, the Republican Party, the Democrat Party. We need leadership at the local level in government, the local level elected, the local level in, I don't want to say deep state, but in administrative government. We need leadership across the board, okay? The world looks to America as the great experiment. America is the great experiment. So obviously, with the great experiment, people look to see, well, what worked there? It's kind of like they say Rome wasn't built in a day. Well, Rome was a mega, mega empire that pretty much had global dominance for a very, very long time. And Rome essentially fell. And Rome the Roman culture was an experiment. And we continuously, to this day, look back at Roman times. If you look at our legal system, we use stuff from the Roman era. If you look at a lot of where we follow with our nation and what we're doing is based on what previous Romans and similar infrastructures did previously as what not to do. So as we're looking back at what happened with Rome and other similar communities, societies, people are doing with us, America, right now. They're doing this right now. They're saying, let's see how this plays out. It's kind of like when we were looking at all this IT failure, cyber attacks. Is that an experiment to see how we respond? How Americans respond, how the public responds, and how our government responds, how our system responds. What is our systematic approach and response to these situations? Are those tests? Maybe they are. I don't know. You have to ask yourself that. But when you ask yourself that, you have to say that I'm going to look this up. I'm going to do the research. And I'm going to make sure that I'm looking at the proper research. And I'm going to validate where I'm getting the research from. And I'm ensuring that what it is that I'm looking at is real. Is real to the best of your knowledge. And you make a decision based on that. That is right. Is so, so, so important. This just seems to be changing so much moving forward. You know, I was just watching so many conspiracy theories. I don't want to say what I was paying attention to today, but I'm paying attention when I'm not on air and filming or recording, whatever we're doing, writing, whatever I'm doing, I'm conducting research and I'm looking at what other people are saying, what other people's opinions are and what people's, let's say, I'm air quoting conspiracy theories, what people's theories are of why things are happening and who did what and who and why is this happening? Why is that happening? I'm doing that all day. And then I'm coming on and recording and doing a show for an hour. So I'm paying attention to everything all day. And I'm looking at just going on to, let's just say, YouTube. And you look at some of these videos that are out there. And one video just says one thing. And then you just click the next video. And it is a 180 degree turn. And someone else has a hot to cold, a yin and yang conversation opposite of what somebody else says. So again, these are opinions, but we need to make our opinions fact-based opinions, fact-based. So you have to first identify who you are and what you believe your opinion is and base it on the facts that you are researching and the facts that you believe to be the most accurate for you and what you think is the best for America and for your children and for your family and moving forward as a nation and as a people of the United States. With that, we're coming into a hard close on this show, but I want to put out my standard call to action, Sanati's call to action. I'm going to say it again. Stay informed. Be proactive. The decisions we make today will shape the future of our nation for tomorrow and the next day and the day after. For people out there that do not have children, the decision you make today will affect the children that you don't have yet, that you will have in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years. It'll affect the children that you do have now, and it affects your parents. It affects everybody. Nobody can hide from the effects of the decisions that are made now on where it'll take us tomorrow. And decisions that are made on a big level like this are very, very hard to reverse. And it takes years to undo what one decision has done, whether you believe it to be a good decision or a bad decision. If you're a Republican and you are in support of certain policies that President Trump put forth, and he was in office for 4 years, and President Biden is coming out of his 4 years in office at the end of the next year, this year, then you'll say he spent 4 years trying to undo what Trump did, and he still will not undo everything that Trump did, just as Trump did not get to undo everything that Obama did, and so on and so forth, going all the way back. So what does that mean? Stay engaged, stay informed. Engage, and you know, when you engage, I'm not saying to engage in a violent way, I'm saying stay engaged, be vocal, and God gave you two ears and one mouth, because why? He wants you to use the ears more than the mouth. He wants you to hear what's going on. Pay attention. That's why you have an ear on either side of your head and just a mouth in one direction. Your ears are more directional than your mouth for a reason. So you need to stay engaged, and we need to move forward and look at where we are. So where are we? We are ready to turn the page on America and move forward. And electorally, this is the year. We have an election coming forward. Whatever party you are in, whoever you believe in, whatever candidate, or if you are a third party RFK, Robert F. Kennedy supporter, which we do have him confirmed as a guest on the show. We don't have a date yet. We will put that out. But I did have a conversation with somebody again today confirming that we will have him on the show. But whatever your choice is, make sure you make a good choice. But let's work together. Honestly, let's work together as Americans and try to we're not going to solve all of our problems, but we definitely need to come together and say, where are we and where are we going? So as of now, Kamala Harris is the presumptive nominee for Democratic nominee for President of the United States. Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president. And that's where we are right now. No conspiracy theory. That's where we stand right now. That may change. Things change very fast, as we see. The political change is so intense here that I was watching other shows and other people. We can't keep up with this. I can't keep up with this. As soon as I write something and I publish an article or whatever, or I prepare a show, there's breaking news. You can't keep up with it. So just pay attention and stay engaged. And remember, folks, the local level, your municipal government, your mayor and council, your local school board, they are very, very vital and instrumental. And believe it or not, they have a large impact on your life and my life with taxes and a lot of regulations that affect you and Main Street America on a daily basis. So don't always be looking way up to the top and saying the president of the United States, whatever party you believe in, is the reason that we're having problems in the country. No, you have to look at who you elected at the local level, because they set the tax rate. They make the local laws. They make the local policy, and they set the direction of how your community is going to respond to crises and how they're going to respond to change. With that, the show is coming on a hard close. Thank you for joining me tonight on the Hostile Zone. Special thanks to Carrie, my producer, Newsom, my producer, my interns, and always even Miss Bianca C, who's not here today, but we always give a good thank you to her. I thank you too, folks, for tuning in to me every day. I look forward to your emails. I pay attention. TheHostileZone@bbstalkradio.com. TheHostileZone@bbstalkradio.com. Eric Sinati@bbstalkradio.com. Eric Sinati@bbstalkradio.com. Bianca C@bbstalkradio.com. Bianca C@bbstalkradio.com. And always Eric@ericandrewsinati.com. Historical closeout for the day. Remember, though, to stay vigilant, folks. Always stay vigilant. Historical quote, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Injustice anywhere is a threat to injustice everywhere. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. With that, folks, thank you again for coming here. Stay vigilant. The Hostile Zone coming at you every night on your FM dial, on iHeartRadio, your favorite podcast platforms, iTunes. Just Google The Hostile Zone. Production, take us to Miss Bianca bringing us out on The Love of the Country. It's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner wave for the land of the free and the home of the
That's right.